can we? You know, like Moses said, set my people free. Can we demand that the devil turn loose our children and hold fast and not be double-minded? Can we demand that he loose our loved ones? Can we be like Moses? I believe the answer to that is yes.
Abraham prayed for Lot and his family to be saved.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Good point. You know, I think one of the problems is we're double-minded because we don't realize that God wants to use us with our words. Even though we may go through a trial of our faith, we all do, our faith has to be tried, but he wants to use our words to bring people into the kingdom around us. Not necessarily what we say to them. That's part of it, because you preach the gospel to them, you say things to them that is a seed that goes into their heart. But also things that we say about them are very important. Concerning, you know, blessing or cursing, right? Looked at blessing and cursing. In Revelation chapter 22, it talks about out of the throne of God would flow the rivers of the water of life, past the tree of life. The Bible tells us in Proverbs that the tree of life, the tongue of the righteous, the tongue of the righteous is a tree of life. And we know that the rivers are the water of life. Jesus said, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. There's the waters of life. And they flow out of the throne of God, which of course, where's the throne of God? It's in your heart, right? So, God wants to use us. That's a parable, folks. That's a parable in Revelation 22. He wants to use us to speak the rivers of the water of life past the tongue, which is the tree of life, to bring healing to the nations. That's what Revelation 22 says. In other words, he wants us to speak the words that are going to bring God's people out of captivity, heal their bodies, heal their souls, so on and so forth. He's called us to be that river of the water of life. John chapter 7. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his innermost being, that's the throne of God, shall flow rivers of water. This spake he of the Spirit, that they that believed on him were to receive. Why was the water of the Spirit? Because the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So we need to learn to be quiet. We need to learn to put those stones in front of the cave and make sure that the carnal senses don't speak according to the things that are. Remember what we found in Isaiah? That God spoke the things that he wanted ahead of time. He spoke them before they came to pass. And then he did them. And it's the same with us. We speak them ahead of time. Let's look at a few blessings and cursings, all right? Look at Genesis 9. This is a famous one. Now, you remember the story, right? Noah woke up drunk, made a fool out of himself, showed himself. Showed himself. There's an awesome revelation here that the Lord gave me years ago, you know, how that... I'll just read it to you. Verse 20. And Noah began to be a husbandman and planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and was drunken. And he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both of their shoulders, and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine, and knew what his youngest son had done unto him, and he said, "Cursed be Canaan." Well, in that instant, now, here's a guy that's woke up drunk, you see, and he's cursing his children. He said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren." Did God honor that word that came out of his mouth? He certainly did, all the way until this day. He And he said, blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem. Let Canaan be his servant. God enlarged Japheth and let him dwell in the tents of Shem. Let Canaan be his servant. Well, the moral of the story is, of course, don't get your eyes on the old man. If you do, your seed, your fruit is going to be cursed. Because notice, everybody says, well, why didn't Noah curse Ham? He's the one that did it. Cursed his son. See, he got his eyes on the old man. And you know the old man is naked, don't you? We're supposed to be clothing our nakedness that we not be ashamed. Right? By putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, by putting on his works, we clothe the nakedness. But, on the other hand, if you get your eyes on the old man, your fruit's going to be cursed. Now, when we speak words concerning what we want around us, we need to remember that we're to know no man after the flesh. Right? We're to reckon that all were crucified with Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, all things have become new. We're to remember that man in Christ and to speak about that man in Christ, right? Well, we don't want to get our eyes on the old man, do we? Like these two who were blessed. They turned away, they didn't get their eyes on the old man, and they were blessed, like Shem and Japheth. And Canaan became a servant to Shem, and then when Japheth dwelt in the tents of Shem, which actually happened, folks, did you know that? The Gentiles, especially the Japhethites, came into the house of God, became the house of God, dwelt in the tents of Shem, which was the Israelites, right? And Canaan, both when the Israelites went into the promised land, Canaan became his servant, and later, Canaanites served the Japhethites, which were the white man, right? There was a lot of that going on, still is. But you know what? In Christ, all of this curse has been done away. In Christ. It's all been done away. For all men who believe, it's been done away. But what I want to point out to you is, look how long ago this was spoken, and it certainly was carried out. God honored what he said. What he spoke came to pass. The moral of the story, of course, is don't get your eyes on your flesh, nor the flesh of your family. Begin to agree with what God says. Don't look on the old man. Look on the promise. Right? Hold fast to the promise. When you get your eyes on the old man, the Bible says, we behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord, we're transformed into his image. But if we see our natural face in the mirror, that's the old man, you're going to be a hearer of the word, not a doer of the word. There's no power, no deliverance. So that's a little moral of that story. But, you know, all through the Bible, we notice that especially patriarchs are speaking blessings and cursings. Genesis 27, look at that. And to me, this is just really awesome, because it kind of lets you know that you let some things out that you can't take back. Or you let some things out that aren't taken back. And God honors them, even though they came out, you know, because he gave us authority to bind and loose. Same thing he gave to Adam. Whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. I tell you what, folks, we lose some things that ought not be loosed. And of course, we bind some things that ought not be bound. But when we add to or take away from the Word of God, we're still under the curse, no matter what we say. Well, this is an awesome story here about Jacob and Esau. Jacob usurped the blessing, and it came out of the mouth of his father, and God gave it to him anyway. Let's read the story here. Well, I'm not going to read the whole story because you probably know it already, but verse 33, and Isaac trembled very exceedingly when he found out, of course, that he had blessed Jacob instead of Esau. Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, "Who then is he that hath taken venison and brought it unto me and have eaten of all before you came? And have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed." Isn't that interesting? Even though he got deceived into blessing him, what came out of his mouth, it seemed like Jacob thought he couldn't take it back. Something to think about, isn't it? Verse 34. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceeding great and bitter cry, and said unto his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." It's, you know, Esau understood that it was the word spoken of his father was going to come to pass. That's why he cried so bitterly. He didn't immediately try to change his mind. He knew that that was true. In verse 35, and he said, "Thy brother came with guile, and have taken away thy blessing." Well, today you would think, well, I'll just change my mind. You know, since he deceived me, I'll put the blessing on you. So why were they so rigid? What's God trying to show us here? I mean, everything that was written over here was written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Right? So he's trying to talk to us here about something. And he said, "Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright." Of course, he sold it. "And behold, now he hath taken away my blessing." And he said, "Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me?" And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, "Behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with grain and new wine have I sustained him. And what then shall I do for thee, my son?" And Esau said unto his father, "Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, "Behold, of the fatness of the earth shall be thy dwelling, and of the dew of heaven from above. By thy word thou shalt live, by thy sword thou shalt live, and thou shalt serve thy brother, and it shall come to pass, and thou shalt break loose, that thou shalt shake his yoke from off thy neck." And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said unto his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are ahead, then will I slay my brother Jacob." You know, Esau wept so bitterly because he knew that the blessing really did mean something. You think it's so today? Listen, I guarantee you it is so today. The blessing and the cursing is so today. Didn't God say in James chapter 3 there that blessing and cursing came out of the same mouth? It is so today, folks. We need to be careful. What he's saying here is, in some cases, it's never taken back. Now, I know we can confess our sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness, and that they're cast in the depths of the sea, never to be remembered again. And I remember about Abraham, how that for many, many years he was in disagreement with God over this seed that he had promised him. And he even laughed. But in the last year, it appears that he repented and started to agree with God. And the funny thing was about it, in Romans chapter 4, that God forgot all that foolishness. When he repented and changed his mind, God forgot all that foolishness. All he remembered was his faith. All he remembered was his faith. It was all under the blood, he said. Well, today we have that opportunity. You know, we can repent. We can put our faith in God. We can begin to change what we say concerning our families, concerning the people around us that we're praying for. You know, when you pray for something, believe you have received. You know, when you believe you have received, you change what you say. And faith without works is dead. I'll show you my faith by my works. If you believe, it will definitely come out of your mouth. So continue to agree with God concerning your family. Remember, what we're seeing here is that there is household salvation. We can give God the faith and it will come to pass. None of the promises in this book have to come to pass. None of them. They come to pass through people who believe. The word didn't profit them because it wasn't mixed with faith in them that heard. We need to continue to believe for our children and confess for them, not for what we see, but for what we're believing. This is a good word for a lot of people. We need to hold fast the confession of our hope that it waver not, for He is faithful and promised. What you pray about your children, you know, tell them about it. Tell them what you believe in, you know. God may give you dreams or visions for your family, for your children, for your loved ones. And that's just like a promise. He's giving you that so that you will exercise faith. That's why He's doing that. So begin to exercise the authority that Moses did over the household of God, you know, over your house. Tell the devil, turn him loose. In the name of Jesus, exercise your faith. And don't be moved by what you see, because you may not see things immediately, but don't be moved by what you see. Hold fast your confession and continue to hold on, and God will bring it to pass. God's faithful. Especially if you're faithful. If you're a servant, like we were looking at, if you're a servant of God, if you're a believer in Him, then God will save your seed. Any questions? Anybody got a revelation or a testimony or something?
There's a story in the Old Testament where judges were, the Israelites were defeating all their enemies, and those three kings decided to try and beguile the Israelites into sparing them. So they rode in there on their horses, and they traveled a long distance, and they had a bunch of old equipment and stuff.
Gibeonites, yeah.
Yeah, and even though they beguiled the judges into sparing them, the judges held fast to their original
agreement. What they spoke, their word was their word. You know? The word was their word. That's interesting. Anybody else?
Going back to what you're talking about with Genesis 1:26 about let us make man in our image, I always used to think of that as a physical image.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's so clear now, and you need to see that it is, you know, character and righteousness, and that's more spiritual, not just physical.
Right, because we all kind of look different than all of mankind. Of course, the kingdom of heaven is going to be full of all kinds of races and all kinds of nationalities, and yet they're all going to be in His image, because actually the word image is like icon in the New Testament, and Christ is the charagma that creates the icon. So when Christ recreated Himself through His own words spoken to His disciples, what you see in them is the image of Jesus Christ. They were Christians, the world called them. They didn't look like Him, but the people knew that Christ lived in them. You know, they knew His seed lived in them. They didn't physically look like Him, but they were like Him. And of course, we come into His image. We behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord, but we're not all going to be turned into 33-year-old Jewish men, are we? No. Does There's going to be a lot of variety. Anybody got a word of faith for, a testimony of something that you believe for your children or whatever, you know?
Well, I believe for my wife. She was a, I married her, she was a Buddhist. Now she's a Christian. And now she's living with, she's visiting her mother in Taiwan, and she goes to church every Sunday with her sister-in-law. And when I came into the kingdom, I wanted my wife into the kingdom, so I kind of tried to force her down her throat, but she didn't appreciate that very much. David gave me the idea through the Bible study that all I needed to do was pray and let it put in God's hands. And 3 months after I prayed, she was a believer, because within those 3 months, she got 3 calls from 3 of her friends that had recently converted to Christianity. And that kind of convicted my wife.
And Bill had a real good experience, too, about going home and commanding that devil to lose his house, you know, because your wife was Buddhist, right?
That's right.
And Bill went home one day. I suggested to him to go home and command that spirit of Buddhism to get out of his house. He went home one day, and that's when it all turned around. I think Bill came back the next day and witnessed to us that that was the first time his wife had ever knelt down and prayed to Jesus.
Right.
When he commanded the spirit of Buddhism out of his house, his wife bowed down and prayed to Jesus. Can you imagine? All because he went home and spoke with authority, right? Glory to God, that's a good testimony. And of course, it's not just Buddhism, you know, it's all kinds of demons that can be in your house, you know. And you just command them. Don't pay attention to what they do or don't do. Just know that they got to obey you. It doesn't matter, folks, if it takes years. You just stand firm and stand strong and speak the word and believe God's going to bring it to pass, you know. But I tell you what, it takes a lot longer if you're not believing than when you are. But we have to remind ourselves to stand in agreement with God so that we don't continue on under the curse.
I was talking with my youngest daughter one time back when I was a younger Christian. She was just railing at me on the phone, and all of a sudden I just said, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus." And it came out of my mouth before I even thought about it. And the other side of the phone got real quiet. And I was wondering if she hung up on me or something. And she started talking to me like my daughter. It was such an amazing the switch over in the tone of her voice and her mannerism, and I was just like, wow, you know, what a difference.
Yeah.
And that was the Holy Spirit that came upon me and did it, because I don't think like that. I need to, but I mean, at that time I didn't.
Yep. You know, sometimes we're a little nervous about boldly doing things like that, but that's happened to me several times. I remember one time that my wife was expressing a bad demon spirit, you know, and one day she came through the house and the Lord impressed me, you just need to command that out. So I just stood up and in her face, I just rebuked that demon in the name of Jesus, and she looked kind of surprised and dumbfounded, but her whole countenance changed, and you know, you think naturally what they're going to do, how they're going to react, but hey, just believe that your words are going to come to pass, you know. And I remember one time when we were very young in the Lord, my wife and I were very young in the Lord, and she began to confess to me some, what I would think would be just petty fears, you know, that she had, and so... The voice of the Lord in my spirit said, "That's a spirit of fear. You need to cast that out." You know, nothing audible, just in my spirit. So when she started speaking this way, I just I said, "In the name of Jesus, fear, I command you to come out of her." And you know, she immediately felt these hands around her throat choking her. Of course, it wasn't me, but
It was the devil. It was the spirit of fear that was choking her. She couldn't breathe. And I commanded him again to loose her. And he loosed her and was gone, you know. But I was so shocked to realize that somebody who was confessing fears like just a lot of people have, that it actually was a demon spirit. And when I commanded it loose, it didn't want to go. It didn't want to go. But it didn't have any choice. It was choking her.
I don't think we perceive or it enters our head, our thoughts, about what kind of a warfare we're in throughout the day, you know, with our jobs and people we work around and even thoughts that might come into our head, and then the authority we have at our hand, at our fingertips, if we would just use that authority in those circumstances.
I know the grace of God is about to be poured out and is being poured out for us to walk in this authority. And multitudes are about to come into the kingdom, folks. And I've said for a while that we're getting prepared. Our site is getting prepared, and we're getting ready for broadcasts that is going to bring in great multitudes of Christians. And I'm convinced that God is doing this all over the world. He's getting prepared for the babies to come in, you know. And not only that, the old babies with beards, you know. As one brother gave me a vision years ago, he saw babies with beards, you know, and the Lord spoke to us that these were people that have been with the Lord a long, long time, but they're still babies. You know, they hadn't grown up. And there's a lot of babies with beards out there, folks. Been with the Lord. In fact, there's in the pulpits, there's babies with beards. And there's people that are ruling over God's people, like Jeremiah said, that are babes. And babes will rule over them, you know. So, God is about to bring in multitudes right now. Because time is winding up. We're just about to begin the tribulation period. And you know what happens in the tribulation period, right? God calls His Son out of Egypt to go into the wilderness. Somebody else share a testimony with us about your family or believe in faith for them. It encourages the folks to believe and exercise faith.
I can share one about a healing one for an animal.
Mm-hmm.
It was my aunt's dog staying at my grandparents, and the one leg was stiff. It'd been like that for a long time. You know, sometimes in the evening it gets stiff and just figure it had arthritis. And this one day I was about 3 weeks ago, I was just sitting there with my grandma, and I just grabbed the dog's leg and I said, "Simple, you're healed in the name of Jesus," and just kind of tug its leg, you know, and it has not. It's been stiff-legged after that, and my grandma has arthritis and stuff, and she said, "Geez, I wish you could do that to me." And
so what's
I said, "Well, you know, Grandma, animals don't have to. You know, you don't have to use their faith. You know, I mean, I said you have to have faith to have you know that happen to you.
Yeah,
you know, animals.
Yeah, well, your grandma would agree with you now. Tug on her leg too." Praise God. Amen. Anybody else? You got any questions on there, Terry, or testimonies?
I have questions, but not dealing with what we're talking about exactly.
Okay.
Well, here's a question. Going to King David. Says, what's your opinion about King David having such a family full of disorder and strife and division? That God still used him in such a manner that he is probably is the greatest king ever lived besides Jesus, the kingdom, of course. Kind of contradiction to the New Testament qualification of leaders. He had such disorder in his house.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you ever notice that there was disorder in Jesus' house? You know, his brothers didn't believe him. His family didn't even believe him.
Matter of fact, he was going to the cross before some of that was turned around. So you just have to walk by faith. Yeah, David didn't do everything right. I don't think anybody does. You know, we learn as much from our failures as we do from the things that we do that are right sometimes. But God's merciful. David kept getting up. He never turned away from the Lord. He kept getting up and walking with the Lord. So, but he had people in his family that were against him and persecuted him. And I have too. I've had people in my family that have been against me and persecuted me. So that's part of it. Jesus said that would happen. But you have to continue to believe for him, you know. Continue to pray for him. Continue to offer grace to him. Continue to speak in agreement with the prayers that you pray for him. Abraham, like we were saying earlier, Abraham spent many years in double-mindedness. When you go read the story, you can't miss it. But God remembered the good parts. He remembered the parts that were under the blood, so to speak.
Leslie had a testimony about her kids.
Okay. She going to come on and share it with us?
She just asked me to read for her.
Okay.
I don't know if she's going to come on.
I'm going to turn this off because we can hear you then.
Right. She doesn't have a mic. She said she had been believing for 10 years for restoration of her relationship with her oldest child. And we have a wonderful relationship now. They call me all the time and share everything, especially call me to pray for them, and they will return unto their Heavenly Father. I know she's been in prayer for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even begin to tell you what an awesome miracle that was with my kids. They've been continually telling lies, and I continually prayed and prayed for them. And they told me years later, they knew the truth. They knew the truth all along. God was so faithful to answer a prayer.
Yeah.
And she says 10 years is a long time for a mama.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
For a dad,
yeah.
Too.
Definitely. Yeah.
But to supplement to that question we asked earlier about David's house, what lesson can we learn from David's situation with his family, and yet God used him so powerfully? Has such an awesome intimacy with Jehovah.
Well, I like what was said to me one time years ago. Matter of fact, I think it was said right here, is that we overcome by degrees. And David was definitely that way. He was always running after God. He never gave up running after God. But he lost the battle a few times. But he never quit running after the Lord. And he overcame by degrees. He sometimes failed less the next time than he did the last time. You know? And you know what? We do a lot of things that are contrary to God's Word sometimes. But that's why we have this blood covering. You know, if a person walks by faith in the Lord, it's not the same as the person who does the exact same failures, but they're not walking by faith in the Lord. Now, faith is accounted as righteousness. David had faith in the Lord. He confessed his faith in the Lord, bold confidence in the Lord, you know. And he failed God a lot, but God forgave him a lot. And he continued to run after God. Some people do give up too quickly. You know, they get discouraged. They give up. They go back into the world. We were talking, in fact, I was talking with Pastor Bob the other day about how that the Lord showed me years ago that there are multitudes of people
that have this spirit of rejection about them. You know, they they won't take correction. They get angry when they get corrected. And I remembered that my own family was kind of like that, because my dad, it seemed to have had, you know, after I gained knowledge, I understood that the problem my dad had was a spirit of rejection. And it was passed on to him from his dad, and it was passed on to me, and so on and so forth. And it is passed on in the bloodline. And the thing I discovered about this spirit of rejection is that people get so tired of being corrected, and with no faith and no love, you know, they get corrected. My dad didn't know how to show love, and he didn't have any faith for me, and never confessed any faith for me, and didn't know the Lord, you see. But the only thing I did get out of him was correction. And I realized that what this does is it passes on in people a spirit of rejection, because the people that endure this, many times they read all correction as rejection, and they get angry because they just get enough of it. So they tend to try to avoid people that correct them, even though they may need correction. It doesn't do any good. But what I learned through that was that what people need most is not correction. They need faith most. They need to put their eyes upon the Lord and not upon themselves. And I shared this vision the other day that I had. Oh, it was probably 22 years ago when the Lord was changing my direction and ordaining me to a different office and so on and so to speak. And I remember sitting in myself and my wife, Mary, were sitting in lawn chairs in front of our house. And as we were sitting there, we were noticing the power lines going by in front of our house. And the thing that was strange was that between the poles, they were sagging down, almost touching the ground. And we were really studying this, wondering, what is this, you know? And while we were studying these power lines, a tornado came over the top of them and just kind of picked us up out of our chair and carried us away. Well, the Lord showed me that what that meant was that the power lines is talking about the power of man coming to an end. And the tornado was the power of God taking over. And it's that way in our life. As the power of man comes to an end, the power of God takes over. Well, you know, sometimes we just get worn down through failure and through stubbornness. We just get worn down. We give up. We throw up our hands. We say, Lord, I can't do it. I trust in you, Lord. And when we come to a ceasing from our own works, we begin to see God's works, His power to take place. Well, there was a second part to that vision. And the second part was that I then found myself in front of a large church building. And I went through the front doors. And I saw an old man standing in the foyer. That's the only thing I knew about him, was he was an old man. And I realized that he was the enemy and that I had to avoid him. So I kind of hugged the walls of the foyer and went on into the church, into what people call the sanctuary, even though it's not. I went into the sanctuary and I saw there a double sink full of water. And the closer I got to it, I realized that the water was full of babies. And they were all face down in the water, floating like they were all dead. And so when I realized this, I ran over there and pulled up one of the babies. And the baby said, well, thank God. We knew He would send someone. And the Lord began to interpret this for me, was the fact that the old man is the ministers in a lot of churches who uses the water to try to clean up the babies, the water being the Word of God. And in this instance, the babies were dying of the misuse of the water. Because, you know, you can use the water to cause people to look at themselves.
rather than get their faith in the Lord. And when this happens, people get discouraged. They eventually
pray about it. They don't look up.
They don't look up. They get discouraged because they know they've tried, they've failed to please God. And all they've got their eyes on is the water and the earth. They're face down in the water. And you know face down in the water kills you, right? Well, the Word's that way too, folks. You can use the Word to try to moralize people, but not use the Word to have them have faith in their Father. And ultimately, it will bring death. That person might be sitting on a pew, but they'll be there dead. And when I pull this baby up, the baby immediately turned its face up towards the sky. And that's when it spoke to me. And the Lord showed me that, you know, we've got to use the Word to cause people who have problems, failures, even ourselves. We've got to use the Word in such a way that it will put faith in God. That's why the Bible says there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. It's not that there's no condemnation to those that walk after their stubborn will and justify themselves and walk in willful rebellion. Of course there is. But to people who want to please God but are failing, what they need is faith. And what they need is to find out that they can't do it. Only God can do it. We can do nothing without Him. But we can do all things through Him. And, you know, the people with rejection, there are multitudes of them out there, folks. You try to show them the truth, and all it does is make them angry. Because they think that you're making them responsible. And they don't want to feel responsible. They know they're failures, but they know they can't do anything about it. What you need to do is preach the gospel to these people. Not continue to correct them, but bring the gospel to them. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it. It's not correction that's the power of God unto salvation. There are people that go to jail with correction and they come out worse. You know, correction is not enough. It takes grace. It takes ability from God. You know. And I know in my life it was that way. I got bold faith because I started reading the Word of God and I realized that God wasn't expecting of me anything that He wasn't planning to perform. That's the great thing about the New Testament is God does expect things of you, but He's the one, if you give Him the faith, He's the one that's going to rise up in you and bring it to pass. So, there are a lot of people that fail God a lot. And I think one lesson we have to come to is that you're going to continue to fail as long as you try to do it yourself. You know? And as long as you've got your faith in yourself, and as long as you're thinking that that you can change others or they can change you through condemnation. It just can't be done, folks. It's not condemnation that changes people. It's faith. And that's why the Lord said there's no condemnation to men that are in Christ Jesus. So, you know, we need to preach the gospel. We need to preach it to our families. We need to preach it to our children. We need to realize it ourselves. The good news that it's not us that's going to be an overcomer. It's Christ that's going to be an overcomer in us. And that we exercise our faith in Him. Especially with these folks that are people who have a spirit of rejection. They've been overcorrected all of their lives. And overcorrected without love. And overcorrected without faith. And correction, just to show someone that they're wrong, is not necessarily helpful. As you've noticed, and I've noticed, it's not necessarily helpful. In fact, sometimes it just brings rebellion. And what these people need to hear is the good news of what Jesus accomplished at the cross. And remember that, folks, especially when you're dealing with people that have discouragement, rejection, despair. These are people that don't have hope. The thing they need is hope, not necessarily correction. They already know what they're doing wrong, but they need hope. So share with them the good news of what Jesus did and encourage them. Abraham, in the last year before his son was born, began to have faith. And God forgot those years of foolishness and failure and double-mindedness and going down to Egypt and different things that he did that was contrary to God's will. He forgot about that. He only remembered that new man. He reckoned the old man to be dead. And we got to do that with one another, folks. We got to begin to encourage one another, lift one another up to get your face towards the sun, not towards the earth, not towards the flesh. You know, face on the earth through the word represents faith on the flesh, because the flesh comes from the earth. And it's faith in yourself. And ultimately, you don't have any faith in yourself. And you're condemning yourself in your mind. You've got no faith for yourself. So, study the Word. Even though I was raised in this spirit of rejection, I tell you what, the Word almost immediately started delivering me, because I read it. I was so excited about what I saw concerning faith and concerning what the Lord had done for me that it began to change me almost immediately. And a lot of people need that. They need to hear what God has done for them, not what they need to do. You know, we're able to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But Christ doesn't strengthen us without faith. So people need to hear the good news, the really good news. Share that with them. I've mentioned before that in this town there's a certain cult that they stand out. Their pastor teaches them to stand out on the street corner and wave their Bible at people and scream at them how filthy, dirty sinners they are and going to hell and all that stuff. Most people just ride by and roll their windows up. You know, they don't want the pollution because there's no grace in what they say. You know, and when these people got saved, they became very self-righteous, judging everybody, even the sinners. They judge, and of course, we're told in 1 Corinthians 5. And we don't judge those that are without. Those that are without, God judges. So we're forbidden to do that, because sinners don't have the grace of God to obey. They don't have the Holy Spirit to obey. They don't have the understanding. They don't have a lot of things. We're here to give it to them. And we're here to give them the good news, which is the power of God unto salvation. So remember that, folks, especially when you're dealing with family members that are discouraged or rebellious when you try to tell them they're doing wrong. They probably know that. Start preaching the gospel to them. You're listening to the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. For information and materials, you can go to americaslastdays.com, or you can send a self-addressed envelope to David Eels, Post Office Box 5069, Navarre, Florida. That's N-A-V-A-R-R-E, Navarre, Florida, 32566. We're being broadcast from Spirit One Radio and American Liberty Radio at 89.1 FM on most of these stations. You know, is there any other question before I get into what I was going to go over there? Now, you got a question there, Terry? Comment?
We have a question. We have lots of comments, but...
Okay.
But anyways, I was going to say something, too.
Right.
Talking about our families, about the Lord. One thing the Lord showed me is don't tell them about me. Show them me in you.
Yeah.
And my mother-in-law, she was a nurse in a psychiatric hospital for years and years and years. Knew that there was no way that I could ever be healed of the mental disorders I was healed of. But even telling her that I was healed didn't help. She had to actually see it. I had to show her that Christ was in me.
Yeah.
That I was healed by my actions. That did more speaking than what I could do with my mouth.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, it's getting kind of late. Maybe we need to pray. I would like especially to pray for, to kind of get our faith aligned for our lost loved ones, you know, so that we can continue to agree that God at the cross already saved them and delivered them, and that we can hold fast our hope for them, you know. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask that you give us words of grace for the people that we want to see so much walking in your kingdom. Give us words of grace, Lord. And Lord, let us not see them as they are now. Help us to see them as we prayed for them to be. Help us to see them as the finished product. Help us to thank the Lord that He's heard our prayers, and that when we prayed, we can believe we've received, because God has heard. Lord, we ask you to do a quick work and bring them into the kingdom. We ask you to help us to hold fast on confession so that you can use our faith. We ask you to help us to speak blessings towards them, to tell them who they are in Christ, to tell them what their end will be, to believe for these things. And Lord, please go with us the rest of this week, Lord, and bless us and help us to be those ambassadors that represent your kingdom to the world, to our family. Help us, Lord. Give us grace, Father. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us, Lord. Lord, we can see on the horizon, in the very near future, judgments and wrath being poured out upon this earth. Lord, help us to be able to tell your elect who are still in the world, Lord, where their shelter is. To inform them of where the secret place of the Most High is. To help them to run to you, to abide in you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for shaking your fist over this world, Lord. Because we know that it's about to bear fruit. Many souls are going to hear your words of grace and come running into the kingdom. And we just give thanks to you for that, Lord. We know it's happening even now, Lord. We thank you for it. Lord, please go with us this week and anoint us so that you can walk in us, live in us, and speak in us, and the world can see Jesus in us. We thank you for it, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father. God bless you, brethren. Come and join us again and bring your testimonies and your revelations. We love you. We bless you in Jesus' name. Good night.